We're going to talk about the classroom because I'm married to a wife. My oldest daughter is a teacher, or married to my wife. Yes, I am married to my wife. My wife is a teacher. My oldest daughter is a teacher. My youngest daughter is a teacher. So we got a lot of teachers around our house. And so it makes me think of the thing that God, the only thing that Jesus ever built, which is the church. So we're going to talk about the church today. Our church is called Westview Church. We're unique. We're different than a lot of churches. We're the same as some other churches as well. But I have, you know, they talk in the Bible about the church being a fellowship. Well, we used to be called Joy Fellowship. So I'm going to use the word fellowship and give you some things based on those. But I'm only going to give you five today. There's 10, but I'm only going to give you five. And I'll be back in December and give you the other five. So stay tuned. Don't forget your notes that day. So the first thing I want to talk about is the diversity of churches in the world today. There's all kinds of different churches in the world. God loves diversity. Look around our church. We're all different, right? Thank God there's nobody else like me, right? But we're all different. We're all unique in our own ways. We all have our own styles. We all have our own looks. We all have our own hair. Some don't have hair, and that's okay too. We're all different, just like the churches are all different to a certain degree. The first thing I want to talk about in the word fellowship is we're focused. We're focused missionally, meaning that it's not something that we just thought up and what culture wants us to do, or historically, let's try to follow the footsteps of the early church fathers. Let's do something that we think is really relevant. The Bible tells us the purpose of the church, and the purpose of the church, our mission, is built around two unique scriptures, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Well, what's the Great Commandment? You know, they were asking Jesus one day about, you know, bullet down for us, right? Just cut to the chase. What's this about? In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus replied, "Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first greatest commandment. And the second is, love your neighbor as thyself." So he took basically all 10 commandments and put it into two, right? Love your God with all your heart and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need work on loving my neighbor as myself. Not just my neighbor, but the fellow man, because some people can be difficult. The mission of Westview Church is to exist to reach up. That's expressing our love to God. That's loving God and loving others. Everything we do, we touch, we feel should be an act of worship. We don't come to church to worship. We come worshiping to church. Everything we do in our life should be a form of worship. How I love my wife should be a form of worship. How I treat my kids should be a form of worship. How I act at the football field should be a form of worship. How I treat others should be a form of worship. Out in the hunting fields, your day-to-day job should be a form of worship to God. You should treat that you're expressing the love of God to others. So here we exist to reach up to God, and then we reach out. We're going to reach out and communicate Christ with others, reaching out and communicating the love of God to others. We want to reach up and we want to reach out. In Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." What does disciples mean? Tell them about the love of God. Teach them about Christ. Teach them about the Bible. Teach them to be full committed worshipers of God, a full court follower of Christ. Not don't go somewhere and teach them. Teach them as you go. As you go. Get your as in gear, your AS in gear. Don't just do it when you get there. Do it as you're going there. As you're doing things throughout your life. People learn by seeing. My kids watch us, right? They see how we act. They see what we do. They see how we treat others. They learn. They see that. They learn by watching. So do other people. People are watching you. See how you act. See how you treat others. See how you do. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything. See, the key to Christian life is obedience. It's commitment to something greater than yourself. Teach them to obey Jesus everything he has commanded us to do, and he will always be with you. So at Westview Church, we believe to reach up, and we believe to reach out, connecting people with Christ, sharing the love of God with others, the great commission. See, reaching and developing our relationship with Christ, we're in the disciple-making business. A disciple is someone who's opened the lid of their heart to Jesus. It's somebody who's basically given their lives to Christ, and they've asked him to take control. You know the song, right? Jesus, take the wheel. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. Notice we were kind of had our own form of unplugged up here this morning with the singing. I was going to play drums, but Denise said she wanted to, but then she didn't make it either. So we didn't play the drums. We'd speed up and slow down a lot, and we would stop a lot if I played the drums, because that's just how I would play them. But, I thought they did a good job. It was different, right? It was different. And that's okay. Different's okay. I don't know how many of you watched the game Friday night of Hayes High and Great Bend, which Hayes High lost. That's okay. We had our chances. It was a great game. Great Bend's pretty good. They've got one really good kid, and he's really special. You don't see that many kids around here do that. But it was a fun game. It was pretty rowdy at times. And then I come to church, and it's pretty subdued. It's pretty laid back. We need to get a little more excited, a little more enthusiastic about Christ sometimes. We need to press in a little more sometimes. You know, we cheer and we go crazy at games. And if you've ever been a wrestling parent, you go a little crazy sometimes. And really, this has nothing to do with my message. I'm just going to tell my wife a little bit. When we're at wrestling, wrestling's about to start. Wrestling starts Monday, thank God. We're on to wrestling. And my son wrestles for Hayes High. And she's not really the problem, usually. It's his older sisters that are the problem. Especially Cassidy. She'll go out there and take somebody on for him, I think. But they get so worked up. It's crazy. One time we were at a wrestling tournament, and Brian, I was coaching him. And so we were waiting for our turn to come up for him to wrestle. And I'm just standing there waiting for the match to start. And it was a pretty big match. It was semifinals, I think. And all of a sudden, I get this notice on my watch. Your heartbeat is above 120 or something. It was really high, and I was like, I'm just standing here, and my heart's going nuts. But sometimes we got to get our heart beating for Christ, right? A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. Those three things will grow a great, great church. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. A commitment to do everything that God has called us to do. That's what we're about. We're a Bible-based, Bible-centric church. The E in fellowship stands for engage. We try to engage you creatively. We have music. We have lessons. We do things like that. We try to engage you creatively. See, God is creative. If you've seen some of the animals on earth, God is pretty creative with things. There are some things I'm like, what is this? And why do we have snakes? I know, I get the whole biology thing. I understand it. I've been there. I've got, classes that I went to. And I understand food chains and all that good stuff. I just don't like snakes. It's just me. My wife can't even look at one or my mother-in-law either can't even look at one on the screen. They freak out. But then my daughter, Madison, takes Harlow, our granddaughter, to the museum. What is it? Sternberg. And she lets her hold a snake. It's like, what are you doing, child? We want to engage creatively because the church should be life-giving, a life-applicating. It should be life-changing. And if you've ever gone to a church that doesn't give you application of how to apply the word and how to do things, then you're probably not going to the right church. We want it to affect your life out there. We want it to do something. Yeah, it can affect you here, But what is it going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? We want it to change your life out there, the Word of God, to make a difference in your life, not just today, but when you get out there. It has an effect on what you do out there. It's really the message and the teaching. It is really not for the service. It's for between the services. It's to learn something so that you can apply it to your life between the services. Because when you're here, it's easy to be a Christian, right? It's pretty easy. We sing Christian songs. We talk about the Bible. Those are all Christian things. But what do you do when you get out of here? Jesus said in Matthew 13:14, it says, He spoke all things to the crowd in parables. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. Well, what's a parable? It's an illustration. It's a story. It's like me telling stories about my wife and my kids and trying to connect that to the message, right? That's what Jesus did. He used about everything in the Bible. He preached from boat bows and beaches. He drew in the sand. He pointed to the sower scattering seed. He talked about a building that had fallen over. He said, look at this child. He held up a child and says, you need to enter the kingdom like this child. So he was always using lessons, objects, parables to teach people. Because Jesus knew that most of us learn, you know, objective or by hearing, seeing, feeling those things. You experience those things. Most of us learn that way. I learn by hearing, mostly. I can read and I remember most everything that I read. I don't know, it's just something I've always been able to do. But I don't like to read. So that's kind of my thing. But I watch a documentary on something. I remember those facts. It's just, we all have our certain ways that we learn. So we try to be creative. You know, when you take a little kid, when they're first, like my granddaughter Harlow, she is, how old is she? She's not two yet. She's 19, 20 months old. And they're creative. You can just see they're creative. They take something and do something with it. But as we get older, we lose that creativity. We squash it a little bit, right? We go from being creative and off the creative charts to being dreaming of dogma. We trade in artistic for analytical. We trade in our imagination for memorization, and we get a creative cramp. You know, sometimes people say all the time, well, I'm not creative at all. I can't paint. I can't, you know, write poetry. But there's other ways to be creative. There's music. There's different things you can be creative with. You can be creative with how you do the dishes. Be creative in the things you do. Sometimes I don't do the dishes very well. My wife will say, did you even wash this? Well, kind of. I let the dog lick it off and it looked clean to me. I was being creative. That's what I was doing. So God was creative. Throughout the Bible, you can see that God invented it. He was creative in everything he did. Jesus molded it, and the Holy Spirit empowers it. You know, it's not like we're trying to come up with another gimmick. We want it to reflect what the Bible says and the Holy Spirit to empower it. And, you know, you might be here going, well, this is my first time at Westview Church. Well, thank you. I'm glad you came. But if it's your first time and you're one and done, it's probably, you need to come three or four times to get the full flavor of everything, to kind of learn what we're about. You can't just come once and think, oh, that was nice. But we want you to come several times and learn what we're about a little more. We want you to get a good flavor, I guess, of maybe what we're doing. Westview Church, we want you to be comfortable, but uncomfortable. Comfortably uncomfortable. That's hard to say. Those seats, Isaiah, they're pretty comfortable, aren't they? I'm comfortable here at our church. I love our church. I've been here for, gosh, I don't know, 30-some years. Yeah, I don't look that old, but we want you to be comforted when you come here. We want you to feel comforted if you've got questions about Christ. We want you to feel comfortable to ask those questions, to seek the answers that you need. But we also want you to be uncomfortable. We want to challenge you a little bit. We want to push you a little bit. Maybe not like getting your grill type of thing, but we want you to think about some things and not just be here and gather and sing some songs and go home. We want to make you uncomfortable for Christ at times. We want to challenge you a little bit in certain areas, because I'm challenged at times. Pastor Tim will say something, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I like that, Pastor Tim. But he's right, you know, he's just doing what God's telling him to do. You know, we're a church that applauds. We're a church that inspires. We're a church that we want to challenge you. You know, if you're here and you're praising, worshiping, and you raise your hand, that's okay. It's okay if you don't. You might say, well, that person must be really worshiping. They've got their hand up. You don't know their heart. The person with their hand up may not be doing it for the right reasons either. You don't know their heart. You don't know what they're thinking in their hearts, what they're thinking in their minds. Sometimes I just close my eyes. You know, it's just as easy as that. We don't want to judge anybody for doing something or not doing something. We want you to be comfortable, but we want to make you uncomfortable sometimes a little bit. I'm going to talk about some different churches that we see across America today. There's the institutional church. You know, the churches that have the names. I'm not going to name them. But the traditional denominational churches, they have a lot of good things. They teach Bible for the most part, but sometimes they get tradition and they almost put the tradition on the same level as the Bible. And sometimes we lose focus of that. So they have some good things. They have good songs. I like the old hymns, the old church hymns. I kind of miss those at times. But, you know, those church hymns have a lot of life in them. So we try to take a little bit from the institutional churches. We try to teach you some Bible, but we don't let traditions get in the way. We have some traditions here. We baptize people. That's Bible, right? We dunk you. We're going to dunk you. We have communion. That's Bible. Those are traditions as well. But we try to redefine those and define them for us. And so we don't get caught up and we do something just because it's always been done that way. It's something that we've always tried to take from the institutional churches. There's another kind of church that the intellectual church. These are the churches that are all about head knowledge. They do a really good job of teaching scripture and teaching young people about scripture, but they're almost Calvinistic in their beliefs. If you know what Calvinism is, basically, Calvinism in a nutshell, there's 5 points of Calvinism. Calvinism in a nutshell is God's already predetermined who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. And if you're among the elect, we're going to teach you about the Bible and do those. But if you're not the elect to be saved, then that's just too bad. God didn't choose you. I don't believe that's right. God gave us a free will. You can choose or not to choose. You know, that is the question. Be or not be, right? I don't believe they do a good job of teaching the elect about the scriptures, but they don't reach anybody. They don't go out and the Great Commission, right? They don't go out and make people disciples of Christ. You know, we should elect them and God saves them, right? We should get them saved. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I don't believe in the Calvinism approach that God's already predetermined where you're going when you were born. I don't believe that. I think you have a choice to make somewhere along the line, right? You have a choice to follow Christ. And we want to reach people. And then there's the emotional church. You know, the churches that you go, we're emotional at times. God's an emotional God. But you ever been to those services where you haven't worshiped unless you've sweated, or you haven't worshiped unless you've cried? But then after those services get over, you're like, what was that? What was the message? I don't even remember. What am I supposed to do now? They're really good at it, really good at being emotional. And we want to be good at that too. We want your heart to be tugged by things here in church, but we want you to be able to apply it to life. Faith without works is dead, right? And so we want you to be able to take the word, apply it to your life, and change your life for the better. You want to be a follower of Christ. You know, we want to have the emotion in our services, because sometimes things we talk about are emotional things. Sometimes the things we're going through are emotional things. Sometimes the health things that we go through are emotional things. But we want you to know, we want you to know how to pray and do those kind of things that the scripture tells us to do. Apply it to your life. You know, sometimes these people get so emotional and wound up that they forget about the word. They forget about that things need to line up with the word. You know, like Pastor Tim has said many times, I've said it, if what I tell you doesn't line up with the word, don't take it. You know, don't listen to it. If it doesn't line up with scripture, then it's not tied back to God. You may have a fresh revelation on something, but it's not going to change what the written word is. It's not, this doesn't change. We change. This doesn't change. The word stays the same. So there's different streams of churches. They're represented all across the world. Even in this community, there are different types of services going on today. You know, so we've sang some songs. We've had some prayers. That's kind of traditional. You know, we kind of pulled that from them. You know, we also have a message that tries to be life-changing, life-giving, life-applicating message here at our church. We want you to take something away that that you don't get in very many places. Have you ever been to a service and they talk so above you, like, you know, like they're almost speaking Latin? You know, it's hard to understand what they're trying to tell you. Well, I don't want to be that. I don't want you to go away from here thinking, well, what did he say? I don't get it. He's talking above me. I mean, I could tell you about all the ins and outs of you know, maybe math or something. I'm kind of a nerd. I was okay at math back in the day. I've slipped because, you know, you don't use it, you lose it, right? Brian comes to me and it takes me a minute, but I get it usually. And sometimes I'm thinking, why are they teaching you to do it this way? It's just wrong. There's new math, apparently. 2 + 2 still equals 4 to me, but there's a new way to do it. But if I talk above your head and use terminology and inside jokes that you don't understand, what good is that? God wants it to be simple. Keep it simple, stupid, right? The KISS theory. Keep it simple. We want everybody to understand the context of what we're talking about. And it should challenge you. And you should go away from here thinking about that. Intellectually, we want to engage you in the service. I think we're doing an okay job of that. You know, we want to be entertaining. Not like the kind of entertainment you're thinking of. We want to be the entertainment. We want to, but when you're entertained with something, you pay attention to it, don't you? When you're watching a game, if you're entertained by it, or if you're watching a movie and you like it, you're engaged. You're paying attention to it. Well, we want to do that. We want to get your attention. We don't want you falling asleep out there or just not getting anything out of the service. We want to have a life application church. We want to synthesize the good and the bad and the ugly and give it to you so that you can understand it and you can apply it to your life. That's what we want to do. The L in fellowship. I don't know if you know how to spell fellowship. I had to look it up. L means love radically. In Mark 2:17, it says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. See, if we believe Jesus, which we do, you know, look at the beginning of his ministry. When he began ministry, he had followers. And who did he preach to? He preached to the sick, right? He preached to the people that didn't know about God. You know, it's all about the elect. No, It's not. It's about all of us. We want to reach people for Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to engage the sick and engage the sinners. Within all this, there's a freedom of choice, right? You can choose to believe it or you can choose not to. But God gave us a free will. You know, Shane and I have been married, 31 years. Holy crap. She's been there every day. She is there all the time. That's what when we first got married, that's what I thought. I was like, do you ever go home? No, this is your home now. She's here. But no one forces me to love Shayna. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make each other. I assume she still loves me. No, she does. There's implications to those choices. There's a lot of implications to those choices. Right, guys, that are married? But there's implications to your choices. And, you know, there's a lot of amazing things that go on because we choose to love each other and we choose to stay married. One of the best things right now is Harlow. I mean, if I could have had grandkids without kids, that would have been awesome. That doesn't work that way. I mean, and my kids are like, what are you doing? You weren't this way when I was a kid. I said, yeah, that's right. It's my grandkid. I'll just send him home with you. She can have whatever she wants. I don't care. She wants ice cream for breakfast? She can have it, right? Yeah, that's how it is. Sorry. Madison and Trenton aren't here right now. So Trenton's in back helping pack bags or boxes. But Harlow, yeah. Can't wait for the next one now, right? Yeah, if I could have had grandkids without kids, I would have done that. Didn't work that way. I had to have those dang kids first. They cost me a lot of money. They're worth it. They're pretty good kids, really, for the most part. You know, we just keep nominating people and getting them saved, and God saves them. That's what our jobs are to do. You know, that's what love's all about. We want to chase down mankind. You know, God saw a separation between mankind and himself, and he did something about it. He sent Jesus for us. He sent his own son to die for us. Now, that's love, right? Send your own flesh and blood to die for us. You know, the gospel is not complex. You know, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Obviously, it's the basis and the foundation of everything we do, but it's not complex. It's not hard to understand. There are times that we want to think about ourselves a lot. And especially when you're younger, when you're a kid, it's all about me, right? It's all about the me and me. We want to get that out, and we want to think about somebody else besides yourself. The best way to learn that is have kids. Then you figure out it's not about you. It's about them, right? And the best thing you can learn as a Christian is it's not about you, it's about who you're going to touch and who you're going to lead to Christ. It's your circle of people I don't operate in the same circles that all of you do. I have circles that I operate in, and you have circles you operate in. But if we can affect those people around us, that's what Christ wants. That's what he wants us to do, is be an influence to those people around us. You know, the gospel has three lines. You know, God's love from above is what it's really about. It's really about him being the object of his love that he sent his son for us. And in Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. But it's a solution to our pollution. The gospel is a solution to our pollution. You know, God can save us from our own selves and get us focused on other things besides ourselves. You know, in John 14:6, it says, Jesus said, I'm one of the options to come to Christ, to come to God. No. That's a pretty controversial thing, because Christianity is exclusive. He's not one of the options. He is the option. He's the only option to come to God. He is the only one that he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's controversial. It's the way it is. What about that person in Nicaragua? How are they going to be saved if nobody can go see them? Don't worry about that. Trust God. Trust God that he'll take care of it. Worry about yourself. What are you doing with what God's given you to do? What are you doing with what God's telling you to do? It may be a simple thing that he's telling you to do and you're putting it off. There's no reason to do that. God has told you to do something. And you have a call in your life for something. What are you doing with it? Are you doing anything with it? The Bible says if you declare with your mouth Jesus as the Lord and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, you'll be saved. What does that mean, saved? That means if you're struggling and you're having a hard time in life, this is your life preserver. When you're about to drown, God sent you a life preserver so that you can stay afloat. And you may be focused on your position, your possessions or pleasure or pride, but we have a life preserver for you. You ever been in a body of water and you're not quite a very good swimmer and you're kind of drowning and somebody throws you a life preserver or a lifeline? Boy, it makes you a lot more comfortable, doesn't it? Or you put on a life jacket, you can just float away. That's what God is. He's your life jacket. He's going to preserve your life. He's going to give you things. And the simple thing is, you just confess to God with your mouth that you're a sinner and you need a Savior and that you'll turn from your sins and believe that Christ died on the cross and rose again. And you confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you're saved. You're saved. Your life preserver is on. It has it. There's people all around that think it's got to be a complicated thing to get saved by Christ. Well, but I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't even own a Bible. God doesn't care. He doesn't care. He wants to meet you right where you're at. I got to get my life cleaned up before I come to church or come to... No. He meets you right where you're at. He saved me right where I was at. Did I know anything about Christ or about the Bible? No. That's why we come to church. We learn about that. That's why you study your Bible. It's what the Word is so available today. I remember back when I first was born again and, you know, we had cassettes that we would listen to. Cassettes. Can't even find a cassette player now, right? Shana had was it a DVD or a VHS movie you were wanting to play? DVD. VHS is even older. And then you get into Betamax and all that stuff. So you young people don't know how easy you got it. But the Word is so available today. It's on every device you own. You can find anything about it. You got to be discerning. You got to find out what they're talking about. You got to learn the Bible so you know if you're being hoodwinked or not. But the Word is so available today. Praise and worship music is so available today. It didn't, you know, you'd have to listen to one radio station, maybe, that you'd get in your car. And that was a little sketchy, depending on where you're at. But there's a lot of radio stations today. You don't even have to have a radio station. You can just tell Google to play Christian praise and worship music. And by golly, it does it. You know, Alexa's pretty smart. Maybe too smart. I don't know. But it's so available today. You can learn. Just take that first step. Take that first step. And you can learn as you go and become a disciple of Christ. You know, when Jesus was teaching, he had the crowd's attention. You know, they weren't just playing on their iPhones. They weren't just, you know, doodling in the sand or whatever. They were paying attention to what Christ had to say. And, you know, that's where we need to plug in. You know, church service isn't that long. We go from 10:30 to we don't even go to noon all the time. And that's okay. I think it should be quick hitting. I'm kind of one of those guys that I like to get there and get out, learn something and get going, right? I don't need to have it going over and over and over again. That's just me. That's me, my person. That's how I act. I don't want to do that. Spend a lot of time doing that. I feel like if I tell you, I don't need to tell you three more times. And that's just me, though. The O in fellowship means we organize. You know, we're organized simply. We're a very simple church. You know, when kids are little, their toys are pretty simple. You know, blocks, balls, things like that. They don't break very much. But as they get older, the toys get more complicated and more expensive. Especially when they start driving, then they're really expensive. Especially when they get hit by somebody else, they're kind of expensive. But when things are simple, that's how we want to keep them. We want to keep them simple here. When toys are simple, they last forever, right? That's why we want to keep a simple organization here. We don't want anything too complicated. In Colossians 1:18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." And in 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, "But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." You know, I work for a bank, and in a bank, you've got to be organized. You've got to keep, because it's your money we're keeping track of. We got to keep track of it, right? In an orderly, organized fashion. And if you want to know your balance at any time, we got to be able to provide that. We can't say, well, come back tomorrow, I'll let you know what your balance is. No, that's not how it works, right? You want to know. It's your money. And so we got to be organized in everything we do. Our church is structured pretty simply. We're God-founded, and we have a body, the body of Christ. We're pastor-led. God has appointed Pastor Tim as the pastor to lead our church. And throughout Scripture, that's God's plan. He picks a man or a woman, and they're the head of our church, and that's what it is here. We're staff-directed. Now, we have staff. We have some staff that are paid. We have some staff that are volunteered, but they're staff-directed. Those folks back there running the sound, wave to the sound people. Thank you, guys. We have awesome staff out here. We got the ushers, Tom and his group of people. We have, you know, people that do music. My daughter, my oldest daughter, she's the blonde one that stands over here. That's my oldest daughter. The brown-haired one over here, that's my youngest daughter. They're both skipping church today. And their dad's teaching today. What the heck, right? I have to have a word with them. But we're staff-directed. We have Miss Marlene back there. We have Madison and her husband, Trenton, do children's church. We have Isaiah and Carly. They do our youth ministry. We're staff-directed. Pastor-led, we're staff-directed, and we have board accountability. We do have a board. We have a board of directors. But we're also accountable to another organization called Faith Christian Fellowship International. We operate under their nonprofit status. They keep us straight. We send them reports every year, and we have board meetings every year. So we're organized. You may not know it, but we're organized. So we have a covering there. They hold us accountable. Accountable to what we're supposed to be doing. They listen randomly to messages. I didn't know that, but they do. Just to make sure we're not teaching some weird stuff or something. So we're God-founded, pastor-led, staff-direct, board-accountable, but we're member-activated. We're member-activated. If you weren't here, we don't have a church. We got a building, but we're member-activated. You're the church. You people are the church. We could be outside, which my wife loves to be outside, by the way. She does not, really. She doesn't like to be outside. I'll be like, how about we go eat outside? No, we're not eating outside. No. Camping, out of the question. You can go camping all you want. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't like to go to the lake either. I like to go to the lake. You can go to the lake. She doesn't stop me from going. She likes a pool. She loves pools. She wants a pool at our house. So I got her a redneck pool. It's an above ground. It's like $500. It was best thing. But she loves it. She'd go out there in the summer. Her and the girls would go out there and float around and listen to music. And she loved it. She can see the bottom of it. That's what she doesn't like about a lake. You can't see the bottom of it. Well, okay. I see where you're going with that. But we're member activated. We want to make a difference in your life. And we want to make a difference in the lives that you operate in. You know, we want to have our circles expanded. And we want to do what God's called us to do. The great commandment, the great commission. And we want to serve the great God. We want to do those things. So today, we're getting to the end of the service. And I want you to think about somebody that is tugging on your heart. that maybe needs to hear the gospel, needs to be saved, write that person's name down somewhere. Pray about it. Think about a person. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you need to write your own name down. But think about a person that you could maybe even bring to church. But think about a person that you could pray for. Talk to them. You don't have to be all Jesus freakish. Just be yourself. They're your friend. They're your, it may be a relative. But open that door of communication to them. Let them know that God loves them right where they're at. Bring them to church. We'll tell them. You know, we want to get as many people saved as we can. That's what we're here for. Because if we're just here to preach to the ones that are saved, that's good. We can learn something from that. But what are we really supposed to be doing with that, right? I don't do as good a job of it as I should be. I don't. I used to do the youth group back, well, Isaiah would have been back there when I was doing youth group. And we had, gosh, at one time, this may even be, this was before your time even, we'd have, we didn't have adult church on Wednesdays because we had so many kids. And we'd use the sanctuary a lot. And then we used children's church. And we had 70, 80, 100 kids here on a Wednesday night. That's a lot of kids. And they have a lot of issues. And they smell. Especially freshman boys. Shana knows that from being a high school teacher. But, you know, we get a lot of kids saved. We got a lot of kids saved. And now they're adults. And they remember me. It's like coaching. I love it when a kid comes up to me and says, hey, coach, still calls me coach. May have been 10, 15 years ago. But I had an impact on their lives. And you can have the same impact on people's lives. Well, I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus because then I have to act right. Okay. Then I have to do the right thing all the time. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all do things that don't line up with the Word of God. I'm not perfect. I'm pretty close, but I'm not perfect. Nobody is. And if they expect you to be perfect, that's too bad. They may think you're not being authentic or something in your walk with Christ. I make mistakes all the time. I mean, I give my wife a hard time sometimes. I know. It doesn't make me not a Christian. It makes me have to go apologize to her sometimes. But, you know, be a light in somebody's life. You know, be their why. There's a kid at Hayes High that he, sorry, his name is Elias. And Elias is always lost. The new high school was not good for him. He gets lost every day, Shana says. She'll text me, Elias got lost again today. He's a nice kid. He plays football. He's out for football. He didn't get to play a lot, but he likes being part of the team. And he's just kind of lost. And not just, you know, geographically, he's lost in a lot of ways. But it was funny Friday night at the game. They put our best defender in a different jersey. He wore a different number. And they listed him in the program as Elias. And they said Elias made the tackle and stuff like that. And, well, if you stood this, our good defender next to Elias, it'd be like, you know, David and Goliath. I mean, it's just, but it was kind of cool to hear his name, you know. He didn't make those tackles, but people got to hear his name. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And so there's some Eliases in our lives that need help. And that's what you're there for. Think about those people in your life or in your circles that you can assist. And maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's just that to start it off. Just be nice, right? Don't be condemning. Don't convict them. Just be nice. Tell them, show them how nice God is. He's a good God. We serve a good God. So, everybody's got your job, right? You got to pray for somebody. Got to bring them to church. Got to teach them about Christ. We want to do the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. We want to be that church, right? Let's stand. Lord, we just thank you today. We just thank you for your word. We just thank you for this church, Lord. We just thank you that we can come here and we can be comfortable but uncomfortable for you. Lord, we just want to do what you want us to do and nothing else. We just want to do what the word says and nothing else. Lord, we just want to honor you in all that we do and worship you in every area of our life. Lord, we just want to press into that each and every day. Lord, we know there's people out there that need a lifeline, and we want to be that lifeline for them. We want to be that life preserver for them. And so we want to go around, and you tug at our hearts, and you let us know what we need to do, and we'll follow what you tell us to do. Lord, we honor you today, as in all days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a good rest of your day. Go Broncos.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.